How many of you have gone through the tunnels out in the middle of central Pennsylvania and you're driving out either to Pittsburgh or to out in the Midwest? Has anyone gone through these? Raise your hand. Okay. First time I went through these tunnels is when I was back in high school. And I was going out to Pittsburgh for a missions trip with my youth group. And we got to the tunnels, and I remember thinking a couple things. I remember thinking, one, I'm kind of excited about going through because everyone in the van was getting loud. We're talking about holding our breath through the tunnel. Who can do it the longest, right? Everyone's done that. Tried to hold it all. Is anyone here hold their breath all the way through the tunnel? Anyone? Oh, we got one over there. I've tried. Oh, we got two. Okay. I've tried. I've almost gotten through, but my youth pastor always slowed the van down when we were getting close to the end of the tunnel, and it was so horrible. I don't know why I did it. I think one or two years a student was able to do it in the van, but it was exciting. Another emotion that was going through me was a little bit of anxiety. I was thinking, this is where my life ends. For some reason, there's going to be some massive earthquake while this van's going through, while I'm in this van, and this whole mountain's just going to collapse on me. I'm thinking, oh, just let me get through. I just need to get through this, and I'll be okay? Because it would be my luck that it would all crumble while I'm under there. This morning, we're going to be talking about a mountain and a tunnel. The mountain is when we compare our lives to other people. The tunnel is God's unique purpose for your life. Because when we come up to a mountain with a tunnel, we easily get distracted by things above. But we look at the mountain, we look at all this stuff. But the tunnel directs our vision 100% through, and we have to come down and focus on God's unique calling in our life. Because it's something I've struggled with, especially when I graduated from high school and started going into college. Because when you graduate high school, you go into college, you start thinking about what you're going to do for a living, you start seeing your other friends, what colleges they're going to, you start comparing yourself to other people. You start thinking, oh, well, I'm only going to RAC, or I'm only going to Monco, but my friends, they're going off to do other things. When I stayed back a year and worked a full-time job and went to Monco, I saw my friends going to Lehigh, to DeSales, to all these different colleges. I got distracted. I was looking at the mountain. And I wasn't necessarily focusing on God's unique purpose for my life. And I think this is really important for graduates to remember. And all of us here, I think, struggle with it to some degree. We can compare our lives to other people. That marriage is doing great. Our marriage isn't that good. Or I'm in a really financial good situation because my neighbor, they're really struggling. This morning, we're going to look at what God's Word says in a story that we see in the Gospel of John when it comes to a man struggling with his mountain of comparing himself to other people and what Jesus says directly into that situation. If you have your Bibles or the Bible in the pew, open your Bible to John chapter 21. And as you're turning there, I want to give a little background on what's happening here. John chapter 21, verses 20 through 22. John 21, verses 20 through 22. And as you're turning there, this is a resurrection appearance by Jesus. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and he's having breakfast with the disciples. And towards the end of the breakfast, things are winding down, and he asks Peter to take a walk with him. And as we remember, there's something off with the relationship between Jesus and Peter at this time. And Jesus realizes this because Peter was the one that denied Jesus three times, even to a little girl. And that hurt Peter, and it hurt his relationship with Jesus. But Jesus realizes the man that he's calling him to be. So he needs to rectify this, and he needs to restore Peter to the unique purpose and calling that he's going to call him to live his life out. And so we see here in verse 20 and 21, as they're walking, Peter turned and saw that disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" As we know, Peter's mountain
as well as ours, is getting distracted from the unique calling and purpose God has on his life. We remember him out on the sea during the storm. He started walking out. He was doing great, but then he started getting distracted by everything going on around him. He lost his focus. He lost his tunnel vision on looking at Jesus. And because of that, he started to sink. Same thing is happening right here. Jesus just reinstated him, just restored him, and put confidence in Peter that this is the man you're supposed to be. You are going to lead my church. But Peter turned. His vision changed a little bit, shifted. His eyes shifted back and saw not only any disciple, but a disciple that was vying for a position in the kingdom. And a lot of insecurity came out in Peter. He probably started thinking, man, he's the one that Jesus really loves. I mean, I'm the one that messed up all the time. I put my foot in my mouth all the time. There's no way Jesus wants to work through me. What the words that Jesus just said to me, I probably misinterpreted them. Probably not the real reason what he meant. This is probably John following us, and Jesus is now going to say, John's really the one that's going to take over. He's going to be the one that leads my church. And so Peter asks, Lord, what about him? When we start asking questions, when our gaze starts turning to other people, and we start asking that question, what about him? What about her? Why, Lord, is my life the way it is? Why can't it be like that other person's? I see their life, looks like they're doing great. And with social media, that becomes even easier in our culture today. Facebook, Instagram. And our college graduates, when you go out, you're going to see a lot of different things. And it's going to be very easy for you to start questioning, what about them? I'm trying to live my life the best way possible and follow you, but it doesn't really look like my life's going the way I thought it was going to go. I think I know what success is. I think I know what happiness is. Why can't my life go the way I thought it was going to go? Or why can't it be like that person's life? When we start asking that question down deep in our soul, we are robbing God of the joy he can take in our life of being confident that this is the life he's calling us to live. And so the colleges you're going to, the vocations you're going into, your plan, graduates, for what you have, is what God is calling you to do. It is your unique calling in your life, your unique purpose in your life. And be content in that. Don't become distracted. Have tunnel vision in your walk with the Lord. Because he wants to work through you, your unique story. You grew up in a certain area, in a certain family, were affected by certain people. And if you start thinking that your life would have been better if you went to that college, or if you ended up marrying this person, or became friends with that person, or got that job, then your life would be okay. That's when we start having idols in our life, and we start moving down a few pegs in our relationship with God. And Jesus speaks into our hearts when he says, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? What is it to you that God is working in another person's life in a unique way? John, Jesus had a unique purpose for John. And Peter didn't have to worry about that. It's none of his concern. He doesn't have to worry about what he's going to do in John's life. The more Peter dwells on what John's life could be or John's life, and he wished he had that life, the more he's going to miss the deeper relationship he could have with Jesus. And so he says to Peter, you must follow me. You must follow me. This morning, if there's someone in your life that you've been comparing yourself to, graduates, if you already have started that, if you started seeing someone in your grade graduating, going to some college, or you didn't get into your dream college, and so you're at number 2 or number 3, that's where God wants you. and worship him in that space and in your heart, that this is where God's leading you for a particular reason. And you must follow him. We must follow our unique calling God has on our life. We come to discover that and continue to grow in clarity of that calling as we daily desire to get into God's word. It's not just reading God's word, but we need to grow in our desire, our heart's desire to get to know God. And that happens in our quiet place. That happens in reading God's word daily, desiring to get to know him more, listening to Christian music, praying daily for the deeper things. Because graduates, you're going into a time where prayer is going to be even more important. You have a lot of things coming at you very soon in your life. And if the foundation of your life, and if you're okay or not, is based off of how you are comparing yourself to others, you're going to miss the greater things God's going to do in your life. You're never going to be content in your life. And you're going to rob the joy you could have in your walk with God. And you're going to rob God of the joy he could have in walk in seeing you walk confidently in the way he has called you to live your life. So this morning, I want you to reflect in this moment what God has placed deep in your heart to do in your life, no matter what season of life you're in, whether you're retired, whether you are married with kids, maybe you're empty nesters, maybe you're graduating. We're all coming up to different milestones in our life, different turning points in our life that present to us a unique way that God is going to work through you. Maybe you've been delaying that calling in God's in your life. Maybe deep down you knew God had called you to do something in your life, and you've put that on the back burner. I want to challenge you this morning to bring that to the forefront of your mind and to seriously consider this is why God has put you on this earth, and to be okay with that. In closing, I want you to reflect on this. We often look to Mother Teresa as this great example. We could never live a life like Mother Teresa, right? Yet in God's kingdom, in God's eyes, the person in Boyertown who feels called to be a mom, and that's what the purpose of God has placed on her heart, and she lives out that calling to be a mom, to start a business here locally, to be a missionary, God sees that the same as Mother Teresa being faithful to her unique calling. Because success in the kingdom of God is being faithful to his calling. And I hope and pray that we all discover that and we all can rest in that. Because when we start comparing ourselves to other people, we miss out and we rob ourselves of the amazing things God could do in our life. And we're robbed of joy and happiness, and we miss the greater things that God called us to in our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word that can speak into our life, Lord, that is living and active. I pray, Lord, this morning for our graduates. It's going to be very easy for them to be tempted to look to different people, to different things in this world, to base the foundation of their life on if they're okay or not. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to drive into their heart, into their mind, the unique purpose for why you've put them here, and for them to rest in that and to become passionate about that. Lord, we pray for this congregation that you would continue to move us in a unique way. We would not look to different churches, Lord, but that you are working through this congregation in strength and power, and as our church body, that we would encourage each other, and we would look to you daily of what you're doing here in the midst of our congregation. Lord, we thank you for your son. I pray that he would be magnified today in the lives of these graduates and how they live their life. We thank you so much that you love us and you care for us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.